And welcome, 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 dear listeners. This specifically being your Monday edition of the Business and Economic segment. And as we always do, dear listeners, yes, you did hear my voice just a little bit earlier with Helmut. However, we have a little bit of a transition as well because we have a direct engagement also for today's particular session. Now, before we start off, do remember that you can always follow us. Well, not just following us on our social media, but also, but primarily if you wish to listen to Eagle FM, a production, specifically also your favorite programming, go to any Android, well, the Android platform, and so secondly also the Apple platform, download the Google, the Eagle FM application. And secondly, you can listen to us on your conventional radio set, as well as also through our website, where you just have to Google search us, Eagle FM Namibia, get into the URL and press the big play button that you would see on the website. That streams directly your favorite programming through your favorite computer device, whichever one you wish to use. And you can listen to us if you've got a strong enough data plan. However, welcoming you once again to the Business and Economic segment, and specifically where we are looking at a unique engagement, primarily regarding agriculture. Again, don't worry, guys. Agriculture is one of the most important sectors in Namibia, primarily, separate from the mining discussion. But we touch base again with the same participants that we had almost like a month and a half ago. This time, well, Mr. Dangini, you're the new face here. Mr. Schumann was here last time, but just to identify firstly, guys, just to welcome you both. That being Mr. Dangini Angula, who's the Fruit Development Officer with the Namibia Agronomic Board, and Mr. Schumann Khalid. Am I saying it correctly, Mr. Khalid? Well, you just to have the microphone in front of you.
That's right. Correct. Oh.
And from you, Mr. Angula, if you could just say, just a hello, so the listeners can at least know that Dwight is not here just saying things.
Yes, greetings, and thank you for having me.
Now, if we obviously take a look at today's particular engagement and discussion. Now, we'll start with you first, Mr. Angula, and then we'll obviously move over to Mr. Khalid, just to look at the particular aspect with regards to Namibian fruit investment and export opportunities awareness. This is obviously based from the NAB's collaboration with the European Union, specifically in the Namibian context. And this is about the economic partnership agreements in terms of inviting all fruit farmers and stakeholders to participate in the upcoming awareness sessions that the both of you have been participating on. And specifically about export opportunities and also investment opportunities for Namibian fruit producers. So if we start off on this particular discussion, this is now for you, Mr. Angula.
Yes.
Let's firstly start off can we call it the second round of the particular engagements? Because obviously there's a bunch of dates to come. Yeah. They started on Friday, the 5th of July in Gobabis.
Yeah.
But what was the picture just before that? What was the specific engagements before then in terms of building up to Friday's particular engagement?
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Basically, we started creating awareness and hosting these sessions way back.
Mm.
And it was in efforts for the Namibian Agronomic Board to create awareness as we implement the fruit development scheme, which is a scheme aimed at actually developing and growing the fruit sector in the country. So we joined hands with the EU, EPA, to actually co-fund and basically host and take the message out there.
Mm.
We started with other towns, so we separated these efforts into two sections. So the first sections of these sessions actually started off in, Stambridge area, then Kitmanswap, then Swakop, and then eventually it went in Ocho, and then North Central, which is Otapi and Oshikango.
Mm.
So basically, those are the areas that were covered in the previous round.
Mm.
And now we are again continuing with the second round. In general, the attendance was good. The message was well received. And that is why we are continuing again, because in other areas where we have not been, so that we continue and keeping the momentum and really taking the information to the people.
And just for the listeners to know, dear listeners, this is now the schedule for July itself. So the first date, which is basically on the 5th of July, which was last Friday, There's going to be four more engagements on the 15th, the 16th, the 18th, and the 22nd. This will be Omuthia, Ongwediva, Nkurinkuru, and Kongolo Singalamwe.
Singalamwe. That's very correct.
And just in terms of these particular engagements, this is obviously first, you know, for people to come and interact, right?
Yes.
With the team, as well as also find out that the possibility, yeah, the export possibilities as well, and opportunities associated, yes, to this activity.
Yes.
Now, getting into obviously sort of like the summary. Now, I have to ask for a summary, because obviously we have to assume, Mr. Angula, that primarily people are now hearing this specific discussion about the possibility of producing fruits and the likes. Now, when we know, as we know specifically, that the NAB has taken this initiative to the various towns, the awareness obviously tries to, does it just try to reach specific participants in the communities, or is it this for everyone, open to everyone in this regard?
Very good question. Thank you for that one. The awareness is basically made. The target audience for these sessions is actually all the value chain actors, because we are developing the whole value chain. So that now includes anyone that is taking part within the fruit value chain, from producers to seedling suppliers to processors, traders, all these value chain actors that actually makes up the fruit value chain. So those are the target audience, including consumers. Any other interested stakeholder or party,
yeah,
is welcome to these sessions.
And because it ultimately does sound very holistic. The reason I asked that question is, usually, obviously, many Namibians look at the picture of, do we just see the producer and the end user, or are there also possibilities for people in between? Someone like a packer, someone that has the potential to freeze, the potential to package even further from the packer, or to produce even further.
Very correct.
Now, it gets me into the next question, which I have to ask as well, which is about the existing market. Now, the existing market for something doesn't always mean that it comes or it has been commercially pursued. Is this a specific picture that has been observed currently in the Namibian context? And, you know, is there an aspect with regards to sort of like, you know, whether import data or export data or market gaps data based upon this discussion, is there something that feeds the specific notion or the specific idea in terms of looking, okay, there might be something missing in terms of generating or developing a market in that context?
Very good. Very good question as well. There is actually sufficient data that actually supports this initiative, and that actually highlights that there's quite a lot of untapped
potential
opportunities and potential within the fruit sector. When the Namibian Agronomic Board started actually implementing the fruit development scheme, it has actually started consulting mostly starting with the market, the traders, the biggest traders, to really understand what are the fruit statistics saying. And of course, we have actually cross-checked that with our historical data that we actually get and from the AMID system that we administer. And really, the whole picture came out to say, yes, there's quite a lot of potential that we can do. The data are speaking for themselves. We import so much of what we consume as a country, but yet there are a lot of studies that have been done, both by our research division, that points to that, yes, of course, some of these fruits that we consume as a nation, we can actually grow them in the country.
And obviously, are there like specific fruits? We have to sit here also, Mr. Angula, because the previous session ultimately also that the NAB, you know, started off here specifically on Eagle FM was also note of firstly sensitizing. So now the process of the particular engagement has obviously matured that we now find ourselves here in July. If we look at, you know, and I have to ask like this extension question in this regard to what you noted with regards to the data and the data sets that you guys have. If we look at the potential for specific kinds of fruits, can you sort of like give us like an insight into what kind of fruits might we look at? I know that something like trying to go wild with growing bananas or mangoes, which we know in the Zambezi and in Zambia scenario, they can grow wild because the soils would be good for them. But If we just factor in most of the fruits that get imported into Namibia, how does that look like? What are the potential for there?
Okay, very good also. Thank you for that question. Well, the consultations that we have been doing and the data that we sit with are telling us that basically, if one is to venture into the fruit sector, there's actually a list. And I can emphasize maybe the top six for now. That is to say, these are the fruits that we as Namibians consume the most based on the data and everything that we have done. At number one, we have apple. At number two, we have banana. At number three, we have citrus, of course, which is a big family there. And then at number four, we have mango. Number five, we have avocado. And then at number six, we will then have pawpaw. So that is what the statistics and data are saying. And maybe just for the sake of maybe emphasizing more or less on the data, maybe per fruit, I can go with the first four. For a specific period. Let's just take maybe April. Let's say April to December 2022, for example. These statistics that I just brought for this purpose, just so that we have a clear picture. During that period, it's 9 months period, we as a country have actually imported 7,320 metric tons of just apple. And those costed us 54 million Namibian dollars in just a period of nine months. And during that period, there was zero local production of apples. That is how the situation is. It's bad, but of course, there's potential in there. That's what it's telling us when you look at this numbers. For banana, during the same period, 4.6 metric tons costed us 40 million. During the same period. For citrus, also, we brought in or we imported 4.7 metric tons, which costed us 31.5 million Namibian dollars. So if you look at that data, it really points out to, it calls to action, but at the same time, it highlights the potential that lies within this sector.
And that ultimately is some of the key particular indicators that, you know, a farmer, someone potentially listening right now would go like, how do I, you know, what's the value proposition that would stem from this? Not that we're saying, guys, that you need to just think about yourselves, but ultimately this is about yourself. However, providing that specific local development or local production element in it. Now, one of the most important things, Mr. Angulo, is about looking at what the plants actually need, you know, the soil component. If we ask the notion in terms of, you know, taking a look at soils, and this is now a question I have to ask, do the soils in Namibia actually also match up to the potential for said endeavor? Because people would be asking, you know, does the soil across the country actually have the potential to grow these various fruits? I highlighted Zambezi, that many Namibians that come from Zambezi would say, ah, you know what, the mangoes grow there freely, so we can just allow things to grow and just to prosper. But, you know, there are people that wish to also bring the mango potentially somewhere else in the rest of the country. Is there potential for a fruit like that? Even though you didn't mention the mango, it wasn't the top six, right?
It is. It's actually, I mentioned it. It's actually at number four.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of soil, it is true, but of course, Namibia has quite diverse agroclimatic zones, so to put it. And we know that each fruit actually requires a different or some sort of a unique or specific soil requirement. Just to highlight on that one, our research division has actually conducted studies into two value chains for citrus and for mango. And when you look at the list of the top six, there are majority of them, except maybe for apple, are actually tropical fruits. So this study actually highlighted that in the central, north central of the country, partly cast also, cast is mostly because we as the board, we divide the country into production zones and we give them names. So when I say cast, I mean Grootfontein, Tsume, Botavi, so that area. And when I say north central, I mean all the 4O regions, and then Kavango, the two Kavango, and then Zambezi. So these regions or these zones are actually some of the zones that have the kind of like adequate climatic requirements to grow most of these tropical fruits.
So it's not just soil. This is now a 360 degree.
Yes, that's now a 360 degree. But of course, it does not mean that other areas you can't grow fruits. Because in the south, we all know the grapes are there. The dates are there as well. But also in these other production zones, we also see other fruits that are also already growing there, the blueberries, for example. So we have a wide range of different agroclimatic conditions that allows us to actually produce this fruit. So it's not a dream. It can actually happen. And the issue with soil is that soil nowadays can actually be amended to actually suit what you want to grow there. So it's not even going to be some sort of a limit for now.
Well, it's actually not the biggest limit, should we say.
Yes.
But just on that specific explanation you also provided, it doesn't also mean that a specific producer, because I'm asking this as a notion in terms of saying that they can only be limited to one specific fruit, right?
Exactly.
So they can also try and venture into something else that they see. They try citrus, for example, that they can see potentially, well, I first have to ask, if you do citrus on one side, can you also venture into another, if you find yourself to be the same producer, can you also venture into another fruit at the same time?
Yes, you can do that, given your capacities. If your resources and your skill set allows, you are more than welcome. But also if like other climatic requirements also allows or permits, because usually some of the fruits don't actually require the same requirements. So you will find yourself in a situation that most of the major tropical ones, if you are in a zone that is kind of like subtropical, you can actually take that and go from that angle to say, yes, since these are all tropical, I can do one side this and the other side this.
Oh, okay.
But as a producer, I leave that to your capacity and actually
it's ultimately
the resources at your disposal. Yeah. But you are not only limited to actually growing or producing one fruit type.
If I can ask, Mr. Angula, just to press you on apple. Is it also considered to be a tropical fruit in that regard?
No. Apple is not considered to be a tropical fruit. But of course, it's one of the fruits that can actually grow in Namibia. And currently, we actually have already a registered commercial producer in the country that is producing apple.
Congratulations on that guy. Congrats.
Yes.
Because obviously this specific discussion is about increasing the said production level.
Yes.
As you highlighted, the metric tons. Mm-hmm. For apples, apples was number one
at
the largest quantities, both in production and
value.
Yeah, in terms value of and importation, yeah?
Yes.
When we obviously look at the notion of now the person on the ground. Now, I know you just also partially also answered in this, you know, in the same vein in terms of looking at the capabilities of the person.
Yeah.
But if we now play a little bit in terms of the notion of being a small scale producer and in this scenario also wishing to play a part, because obviously we've got both communal practitioners, farming practitioners, and then obviously also the commercial guys that you also gave reference to now. You know, someone that has at least access to a piece of land, what would they need to do specifically to come to this particular engagement that we've now obviously been highlighting? The ones that obviously now begin from, just to make sure, is it from the 12th, the next session? The 15th, 15th of July, which is in Omothia, which is the next engagement. If they now have to get access or to basically also come and listen to now what both you and Mr. Khalid would be. I don't know if it's both of you guys will be presenting or participating in those discussions, but at this first or the next stakeholder engagement, obviously, that in terms of sensitizing, what would they need to bring along, understand, try to look into in terms of understanding how they can participate in the same particular discussion of being or looking to be a future fruit producer?
Very good. Also, thanks for that one. And of course, yes, both of us will be presenting. plus, also, there are also other stakeholders that will also be using the same platform to actually also give relevant information that emerging, even established fruit farmers or fruit value chain actors actually can benefit from.
Yeah.
So really, it's a session that I think it's really open to all value chain actors in the fruit sector. But again, I really encourage the emerging and those who are just having an idea to start to actually come, because then that is where they will get exposed to a lot of data. That's where they will get exposed to a lot of information based on which they can actually make their decisions. And it's actually the right platform to come, so that it will actually assist them to start right, because you get the right advice, you get the correct industry information, you get to know what are the trends, how is the sector performing, and where lies the opportunity. Where lies the opportunity? We are not all just going to be producers. You understand?
Yeah.
But you can come there and maybe you can start adding value to what is already being produced or what others are producing. With fruits, you always have first grade, and you will always have the lower grades. Those lower grades are very good, actually, raw materials for value addition.
Actually, explain that, the grades discussion, because this is obviously something that I've always, from my particular experience as well, that there's always been the notion of identifying, like, clothing, various, and even electronics, they've got these grades that are associated to them. How does these grading or these grades, in specifically like in fruits, how are they applied in that scenario?
The grades mostly it's quality oriented. That is to say, you will always have those fruits that are of good quality in terms of their physical and also their intrinsic qualities that you can't
like
see.
Like the nutrition,
Nutrition and also flavor and and also overall appearance. Then you will have those that are actually actually deviating from that optimum good quality fruit.
Yeah.
So those ones now will be the lower grades. Those ones that are actually good to consume, fresh. They don't have scars. They don't have sunburn. They don't have spots. They are of the right size, and actually they are fresh and have good flavor. Those are your first class fruits. And those are the ones that are consumed raw and fresh and sold loose. But then the other one that are deviating from that, those could be destined for value addition. Now, that's the one that you juice. Those are the ones that you dry. Those are the ones that you process into jam. And all these are opportunities that lies within there. And they are all going to be there, because as a fruit
farmer, my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
And just coming back from the quick break right there, dear listeners, and the particular discussion today, joining me in studio is the Namibia Agronomic Board's Mr. Dankene Angula, as well as also from the EU representative, Mr. Shumon Khalid, who are both, you know, helping us understand the various engagements, firstly, with regards to the, well, fruits production, the possibility of fruits production and exportation. Dear listeners, also, just to let you know, you can participate. You can call through at 083-288-401. Ask a question, but you'll have to be very brief, guys, because also the particular discussion, I still have to move over to Mr. Khalid, who will also give his particular indication. Mr. Angula, where you left off primarily was, you know, the explanation about the grades, the value that various fruits can provide in that grading scenario, and you were still on the notion of jams, juices, drying the fruits as well.
Yes, I was just departing from that the perspective to say, yes, with fruits on a tree, you will always have all those different various grades. And of course, all those grades will have different destinations. Some are coming straight to our tables as fruits, but some might actually end up on our tables now with added value. And all those that I've mentioned, it's just the diversity of products that one can actually venture in and can actually, and they represent potential that exists within. That's what I'm trying to actually highlight.
And if we just look at the schedule that's to come, obviously I listed them already in terms of identifying, we've already had Khobabis, 5 July on Friday, but what is left is 15 July Omothia, 16 July Ongwediva, 18 July Nkurenkuru, 22 July at Kongola Singalamwe. Let me just get the Kongola Singalamwe.
Yes.
If we start from Omothia specifically, Growers, producers, potential growers and producers there, what can they expect when they, you know, attend the specific function, right? There is going to be, you know, the same message, or is it going to be a different take, highlighting the strengths of the region or the surrounding area?
Very good also for that one. Like I've emphasized, the message from our side is the same.
Mm.
It's actually consistent. It's mostly to just highlight the investment opportunity that lies within the fruit value chain.
Mm.
Also on top of that, we also have other stakeholders on board. Plant health, for example, division from the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform will be there. And then, of course, also other stakeholders like AgriBank that also will highlight some of the financial products that actually fit the fruit sector. And of course, we will also have other stakeholders as well that will also come and share very crucial information that is relevant actually to the sector. So it's not just really EU and NAB.
Mm.
It's also all these other stakeholders that actually having initiatives. Yes, Ministry of
Agriculture.
Forestry also.
Yeah.
The forestry division that actually have a whole network of fruit tree nurseries in the whole country and all these others. So all these stakeholders that have programs that are there aimed at supporting the fruit value chain will actually be there. So it will really be a fully packed in terms of information that anyone who actually would like to venture into fruit production should not miss.
And is it safe to assume that the same stakeholders will participate in all the four next discussions from Omuthia all the way to Kongola, Singalamwe?
Yes, that is basically the that is basically the plan, and these are the arrangements that we have put in place, that at least we keep that consistency. Maybe for due to unforeseen circumstances, one or two might miss in one venue, but of course we are trying to keep it consistent, and we have actually made the necessary arrangements that most of these stakeholders actually join and follow us wherever we go as we visit all these different venues.
Thank you, Mr. Angula. And then just getting over to you, Mr. Khalid. Welcome once again. Thank you for also taking the time. Obviously, you know, you've been sitting in silence right next to Mr. Angula. But at least it's your time also to share a little bit more information. If we take a look specifically. Now, I first want to start off just to resensitize to our listeners once again what the EPA discussion is about. I know that it stands basically for as an economic partnership agreement. But when we look at it in Namibia's specific notion or in specific scenario, you know, how does this particular mechanism assist Namibia in trying to, what Mr. Angula now explained, establishing the fruit value chains and the necessary infrastructure, which is actually an infrastructure installation exercise. Yeah. So in that light, how does this EPA assist Namibia in this regard? If we can just start from that, sort of like, once again, sensitizing, summarizing.
Okay, thank you. So let's just go start from the top. So firstly, Namibia has grown, developed, and therefore it's no longer a developing country. It's a middle-income country now. So that, for all the good of that, at the same time, it means you lose trade preferences.
Mm.
So now you're on the equal footing with your trade partners, unless you negotiate specific bilateral or multilateral deals.
Mm.
So under the WTO, which it falls under, Namibia would normally be entering into other countries exporting and have tariffs as per those countries would put on all other countries.
Mm.
So what the EU and the SACU members of SADC agreed to sign up to was this trade and development. So it's a trade and development cooperation agreement.
Yeah.
So from the trade side, what it does basically gives all products out of Namibia except for arms are going in duty-free, no duties entering the EU, and no quota restrictions generally on the goods. So if you compare then the position Namibian producers have with their competitors in Asia, South America, you already have a big advantage,
yeah,
making your goods, Namibian goods, the preferred option. Now, the big issue is assuming the quality and standards
are met
or equal to your competitors. Mm. So that's the key issue. And then there are other things. Obviously, the individual buyers may have requirements, may impose voluntary conditions and standards as well, which have to be on a case-by-case basis measured. So then that gives you a perfect platform to then exploit exports to the EU. Mm. It's a big opportunity there. And so the project that the EU and Namibia came up with, EPA support program, which has a number of objectives. So we're looking at the regulatory frameworks around exports, and then also looking particularly at the value chains, or many value chains, most of the export potential value chains, including fruit and vegetable, in terms of what are the needs, gaps to enable Namibian producers, farmers to get their produce onto ships. So that's where it comes from. And fruit and vegetable is a prime area intervention. A lot of product is already being exported, all the fruit and products. You've got grapes, dates, blueberries going out already. And there's potential now for avocado also, asparagus. Citrus is literally perfect and ready to go out. And then you've got the quality. The issue is getting that certified and tested and the documentary evidence to go with it. So that's where coming in mostly to try to interpret and translate what the EU's standards and procedures and rules are, what are the certification needed, where to get this testing done, and then how to satisfy those market access requirements. Mm. And then basically it's good to go because you've got the quality there, the taste is there, you've got the soils, and you have got the knowledge and understanding because exports are going. Mm. NAB themselves are already doing the work on the many fruits. So it's like something which is ripe, ready
in a fruit reference
to be pushed and taken out. And it's a question of spreading this message. Mm. And the other thing is Namibia have a small population, small market. True, it's still far from saturated. You bring a lot of things imported coming in. Mm. But when you look at, obviously, exports, it's almost infinite. Mm. The whole world is there.
So primarily, just if we look at this discussion under the EPA scenario, it's about basically bringing in a market or a specific mechanism that can provide more to the Namibian producers. Well, they are producers, but we just have to get more fruit producers.
It's more of what's already being done. It's also widening the value chain, so bringing in the smaller players, the new emerging farmers, or those who want to enter it, and then also often with exports, usually you have big volumes, potential. Mm. Big supermarkets are the ones who are buying. And you have to meet those volume requirements as well. So that's where there's a question of bringing together many of the smaller producers and then also working collaboratively with the existing processors and pack houses who can help with the grading and packing as well. So it's a coordinated effort that's going on. So our work is going in mostly in the post-harvest stage and working to capacitate any gaps that organizations like the NAB have or the Meat Board for poultry and beef have. So it's increasing what's already being done, and that could also include things like some science and research or for improving yields.
Yeah.
That's also trying to coordinate and capacity building, information awareness raising. But also there are products which maybe Namibia does not consume, but maybe Namibia can grow it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the product that you want to export as well. So whatever is good, easy to produce, which you don't consume, still, let's make it and send it out.
And that usually also basically also positions itself to most what Mr. Angula explained about the opportunities that exist in the production menu. I know that he mentioned at least six. You mentioned the top six, right, Mr. Angula?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And then they're obviously like the top four. It's not to say that obviously Europe doesn't produce its own apples, nor its own citrus, but obviously this is about supplementing and opening up an avenue. If we look at the aspect, because I have to ask the aspect of in terms of the size of this potential, because on the fruits that we import, because that was an import picture that Mr. Angula provided, in terms of the need that Europe needs, for example, because there's the potential avenue to export to Europe, how big is this need? If we can describe it, I don't know how big you would have to, you know, how long it would take you, Mr. Schumann, to try and illustrate the size of the need of, can I safely say it's access to 27 countries?
Yeah, 27 countries as of now and growing. And what, about 400 million people as well. And importing from all over the world. So, you know, in terms of the market, it's huge. It's limitless from Namibia's point of view. And it's been proven and tested that you have got the nutrition, you have got the taste and quality there. So it's just getting that seal of approval from a third party. And to get it onto the ships. But that's where the effort comes in. And to understand that there are some hurdles to get those quality and certifications.
Yeah.
But once you've got them and you've learned that process, your market is potentials. Then you have got also niche products and things like organic. So you could also go into the smaller market area, such as organic or other value addition, and get your higher prices and then do the necessary production processing there. And that's also where we're helping on. So dates and grapes, exports are big, exports are good. Potential there to increase the yields as well. We're trying to bring some scientists to work and develop the capacity of the universities. And also to see how the value addition in terms of making syrups, date syrups, grape juice, citrus as well, again, juice. So one product can open many, many other areas.
Because I always like using the example of cooperatives that are one of the best examples for producers, farmers that exist in Southern Africa. I specifically grew up in a town just here in the south, Kriebos. Where you had, unfortunately, it was a farmer that owned his own butchery, which you can obviously see it's his own, his or her own value chain that they established.
Yeah.
But that was based upon livestock. But if you're now trying to say, let's for example say Mr. Angula has the farm, I have the butchery, and you have the potential storage, are we looking at that scenario in terms of involving more people, more systems, more participants in that specific scenario? Because you will always have, if we can say, the scenario of one guy might have a little bit more capital access than the other guy, because we never have an easy or a straightforward equal template. Is that also the type of thing of developing everyone so that they know about the access opportunity?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. That's obviously the most important thing, to make sure that the opportunity is there for everybody. Because the whole thing about business, it's about information. To have information, if you have exclusively information about a certain enterprise and nobody has it, then you've got a monopoly and nobody else knows about it. So the only, you know, that's the most important thing about making money, making business, is to have information, access to information, and then processing that information and how to respond to it. So that's the awareness raising we're trying to do, as well as make people aware of the opportunity. And yes, collaboration between all parties. Where in the citrus, we're looking at working with a pack house together with smaller farmers who can then get their produce in, as well as in poultry, the similar scenario exists. Because most of even the existing successful bigger exporters will all tell you that we have need to export more. Mm. We cannot produce enough to export in nearly all of the products we've come across.
Mm.
So
the need ultimately is even there.
And yeah, some of the poultry export says we can take many, many more tons of input from smaller farmers, from smaller growers, the same thing. So that's a big one. Just slowly enter the value chain and understand, and then one day do their own thing.
Now, it's one of the questions I don't have on my, let's say, menu. But you made mention, Mr. Shimon, about a specific aspect about if we look at, how could I forget the question now? But it was something associated to one of the products that you highlighted. But I'll remember it a little bit later if it comes back. If we look at the notion of the aspect of the strict requirements. Now, oh yes, the seal of approval. In terms of that approval of the quality of the standards. Mr. Angula highlighted you get the grading system. So where would this particular aspect of grading come from? Would it be based upon internal market dynamics that between the producers themselves? I don't know which one of the two of you, but you can both also provide insights in this, because obviously you would also be speaking from both the meat production and the fresh produce production. And then Mr. Angula, you can also just, you know, throw your bat at it and just highlight how would that work for a producer?
Well, from the government side, they have a responsibility for the health of the citizens.
Mm.
So they would have the mandatory regulations and standards, which are testing for things like the sanitary, phytosanitary, the chemicals, residues, pesticides, bacteria, all these tests from pure health and safety point of view. And then there comes the product could be perfectly healthy, but maybe it doesn't look so nice, or one has got some bruises, etc. Like take a banana. You have a banana, it has its spotting.
The spotting.
It doesn't look nice, but tastes perfectly well. Mm. So those would be areas of voluntary standards, which a buyer will come and say, I want this color, this length, this size, etc.
Mm.
So many packed, and they would have imposed, but health-wise, it's still perfectly safe. So those are the two areas. So to get the export or the import in and the license, and then we'd probably want an export license based upon you achieving those health requirements. And then that would be the minimum requirement. You get your export out. But then to find the buyer, he's taken for granted. Obviously, you'd have to have the government SPS health certificate. But then he would say that I want these sort of visual, he may put taste things maybe as well, impose certain requirements, which are not mandatory, but they're a personal preference from a buyer. He could want to, any type of, he could, like, there could be a very premium brand in the UK or Europe, a brand, the most expensive grocer, and he'll make a silly thing, what we think, like, the color has to be perfectly even, uniform. He'll give you a color grading chart, and they have to be perfectly in line with no dissimilarity in the 100 colors, and size must fit through a hole.
A specific hole,
tomato, things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to a different area, but the minimum requirement would be to get the health and safety, and then you deal with the buyers.
And with specific that's where
we'll also be looking at that, how to get market promotion, how to get Namibia more on the map. People eating a lot of things from Namibia in Europe, from the meat, fish, fruit. It's all going there, but I don't know if people realize it's coming from here. So going out to trade fairs, making some brochures, publicity videos, sending these out as well, I think is important, and telling buyers that you realize what you're eating is from Namibia, come and buy more and see our other products.
Mm.
So it's, you know, in many directions we're trying to push this.
Exactly. Mr. Angula, is there something you also wanted to add there? I know I also threw the ball in your direction, but yeah.
Okay, yes. With the issue of the the market requirement is that based on what the farmer is targeting, be it local or for export market, you are going to be faced with different market requirements. So, of course, the EPA will be very handy to actually assist us in making our farmers actually be compliant with these market requirements if they are to target the export market. But basically, what needs to be understood, I think, with the EU and EPA is that we need to take advantage of the fact that we do not pay duties as Namibians because we are part of that agreement.
Do you hear that, guys? There's a specific strategic advantage.
So our products, when they are being exported to the EU, they are actually duty-free. That is the main competitive advantage that we have. And of course, we do have an export strategy in place where we would then want to actually send new products to old markets that are already there and also send old product to the old. But for us to do that, we need to actually stimulate local production of fruits. We need to produce. That's why we are busy now trying to do everything so that we stimulate local production. And eventually, we make use of all these advantages that are there for us. But it starts with us planting.
It really does. Guys, it's not just me, Dwight, here. Mr. Angula, Mr. Khalid are both indicating specifically this is about a specific... Can we assume this is a new market in the European context, or is it basically expanding what is already there in terms of just adding more products into it? Because we know of the fish and the meat, and particularly maybe also other products, but this is now fruits. And I'm just going to highlight this primarily because, well, if we look at the last 5 minutes, I actually want both of you also to highlight it. Is the fruits a new market development strategy in a Namibian context as a country? Is the fruits in terms of the self-sustainability component a new market development from our side?
Very well. I wouldn't say it's really new, but of course, it's one of the value chains that it's already there. It's just that it needs some, it needs to be stimulated. It needs to be developed, and henceforth, in our efforts to develop it, that there lies the opportunities within it. And of course, we also know already the benefits that comes with a very well-developed and structured and functional fruit value chain, be it economical and also enhancing livelihood and so forth. So it's quite a lot of advantages, but it's not really new. It's just that the situation is that we import more of what we consume. And we need to do something. And the thing that we need to do, it starts with us actually producing and having a lot of producers that have planting a whole variety of fruits. But the fruits that need to be planted actually need to be aligned with what we are eating. And that is what I just highlighted. And that is where the top six list comes in play.
Yeah, which is the top imported.
Yes, which is the top imported. Yeah. These are, there should be alignment between the orchard that we see on the ground and what we actually consume. That is the whole aim.
And specifically also, Mr. Khalid, I forgot to ask you one small question. If we are also going to be highlighting specifically on the current sessions in terms of just, you know, the potential of the farmers in the towns that were visited, obviously also this also highlights that it's a national approach from all the towns that the stakeholder engagements took place. Looking at the potential, obviously not all areas have the same soil types and might not have the same potential for the same fruits or particular produce. Is it basically untapped potential that we're sitting with in terms of Namibia? If it's in a short, particularly short way that I had to summarize that question,
No, absolutely, because in terms of the those who are exporting, from what discussions we've had, they are saying that they can export a lot more. Their buyers are coming and asking for more.
Yeah.
And they are expanding and they can buy more. And the demand is there. Primarily because the quality is very good. The taste is very good. And people like it. And it can compete with the best in the world. And you've got the advantage of now, if Europe is buying from Thailand, maybe they have 20% on top. If they're buying from South America, maybe the same thing. So... that gives an additional demand on Namibia. People say we want to buy from Namibia because it's cheaper.
Yeah,
and we're not compromising on the quality or the standards and the taste. So it's pretty untapped. There are other products which are waiting to go. Avocado is growing even domestically. Demand is huge. People are selling out even before they've harvested.
Is avocado a fruit or is it a... Or is it a...
That I leave to our...
to Mazangula.
Yes, it is a fruit. It's actually at number 6.
Is it? Oh, yes.
At number 5, actually, because at number 6, there's pawpaw.
Because I heard just recently that olives are actually also a fruit, if we consider olive in the fruit discussion. I never knew that olives were considered a fruit. There was always that big debate about tomatoes, and I never knew about avocados.
Yeah.
Can we, well, here's my million-dollar question. Can we also look at, do we also have potential for olives? Because I've heard that Namibia and Spain have the same kind of climatic conditions as well.
Yes, we also have farmers that are registered with the Namibian Agronomic Board that are actually growing olives in Namibia.
Olives and olive oil being produced. I bought some, very good, freshly cold pressed, and the quality is very good.
Guys, I have to thank you. We basically are on the spot at 7 p.m. Once again, just a last word on from both of you, Mr. Angula, Mr. Khalid, just in terms of we look forward to the next, if the roadmap, which starts from 15 July, the next particular engagements, if you guys just have a last word to add there for the listeners.
Okay. What I would encourage is that anyone is welcome. It's a good platform where you are actually going to be exposed to very valuable information that is going to guide your next steps into your farming journey. And also just to ask those that are already actually having trees on the ground to basically come and hear some of the criteria for you to actually be registered as a commercial fruit producer with the Namibian Agronomic Board. As per the Agronomic Industry Act 20 of 1992, all value chain actors need to be actually registered with us. And I would just ask those that already are involved somehow in the fruit production to bring along their certified copies of the ID, as forms will be readily available at all these venues.
On your side, Mr. Kelly?
Yes. No, I will say that please, as many people as possible, to come attend these meetings, workshops, take the knowledge, take the information, and be aware that you have in the NAB an organization which is very proactive, very knowledgeable, and engage with them, take from them information, and spread the message, and demand your answers, and they'll give it.
All right. And on that particular note, dear listeners, this was the Business and Economics segment here, specifically in conversation with Mr. Angula from the NAB, the Namibia Agronomic Board, as well as also the guys, Mr. Khalid. Can I assume is the EPA an organization, Mr. Khalid?
It's the...
Because it's the agreement on its own.
Yes, yeah. It's an EU EPA implementation project.
All right. With Mr. Khalid from the EU implementation EPA implementation project. Once again, dear listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen to us. Do stay tuned for the next program to come after the break. And on that note, look forward to the particular dates and the specific itinerary with the various particular engagements that will take place. I just have to, in terms of just making sure that you guys have the right venues, for the 15th of July at Omothia, it'll be at the Okashana Rural Development Center. On the 16th of July in Ongwediva, it'll be at Hotel Destiny. On 18th July in Nkurenkuru, it'll be at Pahukeni Pension Hotel. And on 22 July in Kongola Singalamwe, it'll be at Singalamwe itself. And do remember, dear listeners, you can actually get in contact with Mr. Angula, because his name is actually on this particular invite, by just dropping him a nice email at tangeni.hangula@nab.com.na. Do remember that the T and the H are in capital letters, or do get in contact with the NAB telephonically. I won't read Mr. Angula's name, number out here, because I don't want you getting spam.
Okay.
Is it actually okay?
It's already on the public notice, so it's fine.
So, okay, so as if they've seen the notice, then it's fine.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. And on that note, dear listeners, thank you once again for taking the time. Thank you, Mr. Angula. Thank you, Mr. Khalid, for taking the time to talk to us and sensitize the listeners. And thank you. On that note, let's see each other again.
Thank you.